What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020, getting into the week here. And we have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. In fact, we've got a lot of news here. We may delay opening the phones here, but we will open them later in the show so that you can get in there with your comments and questions and so forth. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, feeding the giant mutant hamster in that wire wheel that powers everything. And so let's get right on into the news. Tropical Storm Beta made landfall in Texas. There's flooding in Houston. Heavy rain batters the Gulf Coast, and they're expecting a 4-foot surge to the area, and they're still recovering from the earlier storms and hurricanes that came on through. So they're having a rough time down there in the Gulf course, and the hurricane season still is not over. So there may be more coming. They've gone through the entire alphabet of names, and now they're using the Greek alphabet to name the storms here. Okay, we're still seeing the aftermath of the passing of the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Amy Coney Barrett emerges as the front runner to fill Ginsburg's seat after meeting Donald Trump at the White House. Barbara Lagoa falls to a distant second, but they say she's still in the running here. And the Democrats are having a real hard time with the fact that she's a devout Catholic. She's anti-abortion. She's a strict constitutional originalist. And they have a real, real problem with that because, of course, the Democratic agenda is to transform this country into something else completely different here. So right now, she's the odds-on favorite to be nominated. Trump has announced he will nominate somebody on Saturday, right after Ginsburg's funeral here. Okay, now Ginsburg herself in 2016 stated there is nothing in the Constitution that prevents the president from a final year Supreme Court pick. And that's absolutely true. Donald Trump is president for 4 years, not 3.5. And the Democrats are trying everything they can to try and derail this. But as of right now, the GOP does have the votes in the Senate to confirm a nominee, whoever that may be here. The Democrats are basically powerless to stop this from happening through any legal procedure. Of course, extra legal procedures are another matter entirely, and we could see what's going to happen there. But Senate Democrats and their liberal allies confronted the reality Monday. There is no path to blocking Trump pending Supreme Court nomination other than a political pressure campaign that peels away a minimum of 4 GOP votes. Now, 2 of the Senate Republicans have already said they're not going to vote at all because they're also convinced that the next president should have the choice. Personally, I think the Republican Party should deny future funds to these two. But at this point, Mitch McConnell is saying they do have the votes to confirm, even without those two missing senators here. So deep into their 6th year in the minority, Democrats can use some procedural tactics that might briefly delay the confirmation process. But if at least 50 Republicans approve of Trump's pick to replace the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that nominee is certain to be seated. Now, all eyes are out there in Arizona on the special election there to replace one of their senators. It's a very, very tight race. And obviously, if the Republican candidate wins, it's going to mean a stronger majority in the Senate. But even if the Democrat wins, they still have the votes to confirm. All right. Pardon me. Democrats are threatening to fly to Washington and prevent a Senate vote on the Supreme Court nominee by lying down on the floor to block the entry to the Senate. Personally, I would just walk on top of them and I would wear spike heels, which I don't have, but I would buy them for the occasion here. Now, Matt Gaetz is out there saying if GOP Senators Murkowski and Collins refuse to vote for the nominee, they should lose their funding from the GOP. Funny, I think I've heard that someplace before. Far-left D.C. mob harasses Senator Lindsey Graham at 6 in the morning. They blast bullhorns, flash strobe lights, try to enter his yard. This gets into the area of the extra legal path to blocking the nomination. But Senator Lindsey Graham is saying, we have the votes to confirm the new judge before the election, and we're going to do it. Now, Newsweek attacked the Supreme Court nominee, Barrett, Amy Coney Barrett. They attacked her on the basis of her Christian faith here. And they ran a story, and somebody actually sent it to me, basically saying that a Catholic group Barrett is a member of was the inspiration for The Handmaid's Tale, which is this book, later a movie, later a TV series, that was about this religious dictatorship that took root here in the United States here. And it was based on a novel by Margaret Atwood. Atwood said, no, that's not where the inspiration came from. So Newsweek was forced to issue a correction. And the correction reads, this article's headline originally stated, the people of praise inspired the Handmaid's Tale. The book's author, Margaret Atwood, has never specifically mentioned the group as being the inspiration for her work. A New Yorker profile of the author from 2017 mentions a newspaper clipping as part of her research for the book of a different charismatic Catholic group, the People of Hope. Newsweek regrets the error. But of course, they print those corrections way, way down where they're hard to see. And the headline is still out there and people are looking at that. Anyway, Caitlin Johnston is out there saying that Ginsburg death means the two-headed uniparty will threaten Americans with removal of civil rights. And U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg has died, which means the U.S. election is going to revolve around abortion and other civil rights for the foreseeable future, which won't change much since this presidential race hasn't really been about anything since the end of the Democratic primaries. The opportunistic galvanization process has already begun before Ginsburg's body is even cold, with liberal influencers calling on Democrats to rally to a November win for the notorious Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Trump supporters dropping their faux anti-establishment shtick and metamorphosing into a bunch of mini Mitch McConnells. Leftists are being shrieked at by corporate Dems as they need to fall in line and support Biden, or they're personally responsible for every civil right that's taken away by Ginsburg's replacement. Okay. Democrats are threatening to impeach Trump if he fills the Supreme Court vacancy. Okay, and he actually made a joke at one of his rallies there saying he's going to be the only president impeached for doing his job as the Constitution lays it out. But the president is constitutionally obliged to nominate Bader Ginsburg, and he needs to do it quickly so the court can be ready to counter all the cheating that the left will try this November. So the Democrats are now thinking of trying to impeach President Trump again if he tries to push through a Supreme Court nominee this year. Given that he is obliged to fill such vacancies under Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, that's like trying to impeach someone for doing their job properly. But Nancy Pelosi can't help but threaten him anyway. And it's going to get weird. Nancy Pelosi is out there saying we can impeach Trump every day of the week for anything he does. And Pelosi told Kara Swisher of the New York Times in an interview released Monday, the House of Representatives can impeach Donald Trump every day of the week for anything he does. Swisher, a tech journalist with left-wing views, was pushing Pelosi to commit to doing more to fight back against Trump, the Republicans, and the conservative agenda. Now, Donald Trump, on again, one of his little rally speeches, dares Nancy Pelosi to try and impeach him a second time for filling the Supreme Court seat. Now, the first impeachment failed because they really didn't have anything. Impeachment is for high crimes and misdemeanor. And how are you going to impeach the president for doing the job the Constitution says he has to do? So Speaker Pelosi, who's obviously a critic of the president, was one of the key figures behind the original impeachment inquiry to Trump, which ended in his acquittal. U.S. President Donald Trump dared the speaker to impeach him a second time for his attempts to nominate a replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He said, I'm the only guy in the world that could be impeached for filling a seat. Go ahead. I want them to do that. Over at Facebook, they're going to take exceptional measures to limit content if the U.S. election descends into violent chaos, warns global affairs head Nick Clegg. Now, Facebook is preparing to basically block posts, probably conservative ones, to restrict content if the U.S. election descends into chaos or violence. The site is thought to be planning for 70 possible scenarios, including military strategists. Measures include using artificial intelligence to track and remove dehumanizing content, limiting visibility of borderline posts, and shutting down fake or misleading accounts. Similar measures were used in Myanmar and Sri Lanka. Somebody came out with a ranking of the most democratic countries, and the United States was not at the top of the list. In fact, they were in the category of flawed democracies here. Thousands of supporters line up several hours ahead of President Trump's rallies in Ohio, and he was at two separate campaign events, and huge crowds. Trump supporters are also showing up for Biden's appearance, and they're outnumbering the Biden supporters. Judging by the attendance at these rallies, Trump is crushing Biden. And we had that same giveaway back in 2016 when Trump was filling these sports venues and Hillary Clinton was like talking to maybe 100 people at a bicycle store. And everybody said, no, no, Hillary's going to win. Hillary's going to win. The polls were saying Hillary was going to win. And Trump won. And it was a huge embarrassment for the polling organizations, who are being a little more cautious, but still biased during this election season. Now, Democrats are in a panic mode as a new poll suggests substantial number of gay men plan on voting for President Donald Trump. And I think it was something like more than one third of the respondents said they were going to vote for Trump. That is a major, major defection from the Democratic agenda here. All righty. Now, over in Wisconsin, a judge has ruled that absentee ballots can be counted up to 6 days after the election, meaning there will be a huge delay in getting a final result. Now, the judge is saying they have to be postmarked by election day, but as I commented earlier on the same issue, you know, postmarks are not proof against forgery. They're not. Nobody's ever thought that you'd have to fake a postmark. And so there's no protection built into the system. Now, with only, 38 days until the election, the window of opportunity to get to the bottom of the U.S. government's intelligence gathering on Trump's 2016 campaign is quickly closing. The best hope for transparency lies in a handful of Senate committees and U.S. Attorney John Durham, who are all conducting investigations into FBI, CIA, and other government agencies' Trump-related activities. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Durham is another gatekeeper. He's another fake. The system never eats its own. All right, we're going to talk about Jake Gardner here. Now, Jake Gardner was this Nebraska bar owner who defended himself in the bar and shot dead a George Floyd protester last May. Now, it was originally ruled self-defense. And there was a huge outcry and public pressure was brought to bear and he was charged for manslaughter and he wound up committing suicide. And the body of Jake Gardner, 38 years old, of Omaha, was found around 12:20 p.m. outside a medical clinic in Hillsboro, Oregon, some 20 miles west of Portland. His lawyer said that Gardner left Nebraska for the West Coast shortly after the shooting during death threats. Facebook, again, is censoring posts that accurately describe wildfires linked to arrests of arsonists. Yesterday, we posted this entire list of all the people who had been arrested for arson on the West Coast. So it's definitely some of those fires were started by arsonists, firebugs we used to call them when I was a kid. And Facebook is censoring it because the official story is it's all global warming. It's global warming. It's the fault of all of you for not passing the Green New Deal. So Facebook has announced it will be removing all posts linking the wildfires sweeping through the West Coast to arsonists after the FBI brushed off the reports as nothing but baseless theories. They're not baseless theories. They're reports from the police departments. We had this one, I think it was a deputy sheriff, made a video saying, yes, that we are arresting arsonists. We are finding this. There was that Zoom meeting from the Clackamas County County Commissioners, where they had a report that gas cans were being stockpiled. Julian Assange is in the news again. He's in the middle of his extradition hearing over in Great Britain. And Slavoj Zizek, is saying the treatment of Assange is an assault on everyone's personal freedoms. Julian Assange has had his rights stripped away in a case that should alarm millions, but too few people care because his character has been assassinated. He might have to go to prison before he gets the support he deserves. There's an old joke from the time of World War I about an exchange of telegrams between the German army headquarters and the Austrian-Hungarian HQ. From Berlin to Vienna, the message is, the situation on our part of the front is serious but not catastrophic. And the reply from Vienna is, with us, the situation is catastrophic but not serious. The reply from Vienna seems to offer a model for how we react to crises today. From COVID-19 to the forest fires to Tropical Storm Beta, yeah, we know a catastrophe is pending. Media warn us all the time, but somehow we're not ready to take the situation seriously. We should be taking the situation with Julian Assange seriously because that will be the nose under the camel's tent for the eventual destruction of the independent media. Now, under the Espionage Act, a journalist can be charged if they solicit the release of classified information. If it is simply leaked to them, the way the Pentagon Papers were, then they're protected by the protections of the press. And that's what the Supreme Court ruled in the Pentagon Papers case here. But a group of over 160 informer politicians endorsed a letter that demands the British government release Julian Assange immediately. The publisher is currently fighting extradition to the U.S. at the Old Bailey. He could face 175 years in prison for exposing U.S. war crimes. Now, presidents, ex-presidents, and political leaders have added their names to that growing list calling for an end to the Assange persecution. Argentinian President Alberto Fernandez, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro have added their names to an open letter to the British government calling for an end to Assange's persecution. The message has now been signed by 167 ministers, former heads of states, current head of states, members of parliament. It's addressed to Prime Minister Boris Johnson and warns Britain against violating domestic, international, and human rights law. What is really alarming is that corporate U.S. reporters are silent about the fact that they themselves are being spied on by the apparent CIA contractor that targeted Assange. Despite being spied on and having their privacy invaded by UC Global firm that targeted Assange, reporters from major corporate U.S. news outlets have said nothing in protest. Meanwhile, new evidence of that firm's CIA links has emerged. A Spanish security firm apparently contracted by U.S. intelligence to carry out a campaign of black operations against Assange spied on several U.S. reporters, including Ellen Nakashima, the top national security reporter of The Washington Post, and Loa Bergman, a New York Times and PBS veteran. Okay, yesterday we had a caller call on in about the Emmys and how lackadaisical it was, and I said I didn't have the numbers at that point. Well, the numbers are in. The Emmy ratings dropped to an all-time low. In fact, it's an all-time low for any major Hollywood awards show. 6.1 million viewers. That is an epic fail. So, you know, they aired virtually Sunday night with no live audience in Los Angeles. And I think it's just people are getting tired of the Hollywood culture because they've gone out on the far left liberal fringe. And, you know, I miss working in the industry, but there's a part of me that's glad I'm not, you know, mired in that anymore because I wasn't willing to go along with a lot of that, which is one of the reasons I got, you know, kicked out. All right, let's talk about COVID-19 here. CDC the other day put out a new guidance saying that coronavirus spreads through the air. Now they've backtracked and said they mistakenly published the guidance that the novel coronavirus spreads through the air was posted in error. Now the World Health Organization is saying it spreads through the air, but the CDC backed off. Over in India, the COVID-19 tally surges past 5.4 million. It's an unprecedented level in India. The country now has the second highest coronavirus caseload in the world after the United States. Okay, we're going to take a break here for commercials, and we'll be back with more news after these few words. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And welcome back to our show here. And I want to start off first with a heartfelt thank you to those of you who have been donating to Republic Broadcasting Network. I'd love to be able to say that it's enough and you can stop, but I can't, in all honesty. We still need your help. And so this appeal is specifically to those of you who have not yet donated to Republic Broadcasting to keep us doing what we're doing here, because, you know, there are a lot of costs involved with this. There's networking fees and rent on the office space and the constant having to replace equipment that's wearing out. Please, forget the pizza this weekend and instead send the money in to Republic Broadcasting here, because we won't fatten you the way the pizza will. So the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. Okay, we're talking about the COVID-19, and I'm looking at this article that came out of Investment Watch blog. Public health experts are suggesting the mask wearing is going to be permanent. Many public health officials have stated that the new normal of muzzling oneself in public could be permanent meaning we'll all be wearing masks forever. Even with a vaccine, apparently they want the faces of the public masked and dehumanized. Well, maybe that'll work. Maybe it won't, because all of a sudden, I don't know if you've seen the commercials on TV, there are these new face coverings that are clear plastic. You wear them around the neck and you flip this little plastic up and it's, you know, basically a splash screen, if you will. They even have them on the shelf at the local supermarket, and it allows your face to be seen. And I think those are going to start being very, very popular indeed, because you don't have a lot of the problems that you have with the masks. And certainly a solid plastic shield is going to be less permeable to the viral particles than a cloth mask. Those cloth masks are like trying to stop mosquitoes with a chain link fence. Okay, the British government's Operation Moonshot, which seeks to make access to travel, theater, sports, and other events dependent on endless COVID tests, is a hideously expensive, unnecessary, and illiberal scheme that needs to be ditched. This is Boris Johnson's little child here. You can do an awful lot with $127 billion. If you were a smoker, you could puff your way quite happily through the world's most expensive cigars without any worry about the cost. If you were a fast car enthusiast, you could buy it would buy you quite a few Ferraris. If you were a government, you could build over 100 new hospitals and employ a large number of new doctors and nurses to work in them. In fact, $127 billion is only $19 billion short of the entire budget given to the National Health Service England in 2018-2019. Okay. All righty. Dan Andrews, Stasi. Down in Victoria, the premier is under fire for a proposed law that would allow government officials to arbitrarily arrest citizens. Civil liberties groups are sounding the alarm in the Australian state of Victoria over the proposed omnibus emergency measures bill, which would afford government officials the power to arrest citizens who haven't committed any crimes. It's basically pre-crime, okay? Would allow the government officials to arrest people they suspect may spread coronavirus through planned future action, such as anti-lockdown protesters, public servants, union officials, or any other government staff, such as protective service officers and work-safe inspectors, could be drafted to enforce public health directions pertaining to the coronavirus pandemic should the bill pass the upper house of parliament in the state. It's getting really ugly down there. Over in Melbourne, police surround and arrest two elderly women for resting on a park bench as a COVID violation. One Australian eyewitness posted a video showing police telling a 38-week pregnant woman she can't sit down due to coronavirus and social distancing enforcement measures. Apparently, you can only be out of your house for one of four reasons. And the cops who arrested those two elderly women said, you know, one of those reasons would be exercise. Sitting in a park is not one of the four reasons. Boy, that really is draconian. Australia was a lot nicer when I was working down there. Over in Washington, D.C., they've got a new program that would help restaurants winterize and maintain outdoor dining areas by turning them into indoor dining areas in heated tents. Well, that sounds like an idea a politician would come up with, but let me ask you a simple question here. What's the difference between an indoor dining area and an outdoor dining area surrounded by a tent in terms of potential coronavirus infections? But in cities across the U.S., restaurant owners are working to find any way they can stay in business. And a lot of them have gone out of business. They're not going to recover. A lot of these retail establishments failed to make their August mortgage payments. Okay. The CDC has now officially labeled trick-or-treating high risk for spreading COVID-19. I wonder what they're going to do when Christmas comes around here. Is Santa Claus carrying COVID-19? Okay, we got to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show here. The phone lines are closed. We're going to open them at the end of this segment, but I really do have a lot of news I need to get through here today. We're still talking about COVID-19. New Yorkers are calling for Bill de Blasio to resign for his sudden change. He was going to let all the students go back to school in the immediate future here, and then all of a sudden he changed that. The return to school is for just pre-kindergarten and some special education students. This was a last-minute decision to postpone in-person classes for a second time. Okay, now then, over in Scotland, families may have to stay in touch using video calls this Christmas, according to Nicola Sturgeon. Thank goodness for FaceTime. What can I tell you here? All righty. Nigel Farage is out there with an article saying, for Britain's sake, we need to fight this lockdown tyranny. And he says, while I supported an initial shutdown in March this year in order for us to come up with a plan to deal with COVID-19, it is increasingly clear that we must find a way to live with this virus. Just think already of the tens of thousands of cancer diagnoses that have not taken place or the numbers with chronic heart conditions that haven't been treated. And goodness knows what the impact of suicides, domestic violence, and the mental health of millions of people will be. We simply cannot afford as a nation to go through this again. What really struck me is the way in which this conservative government, using their emergency powers, have been so keen to interfere in our day-to-day lives since the pandemic began. Being put under virtual house arrest for weeks was bad enough. Now, normal people are being threatened with fines of up to £10,000 if they do not do as they are told. Gaza is facing a humanitarian disaster amid acute shortage of medical supplies and handling COVID-19. This according to the health ministry in the Gaza Strip. They announced on Monday that Gaza would soon witness this humanitarian disaster because of the shortage of medical supplies and equipment. The densely populated coastal enclave needs to double the PCR test to combat the virus. Pandemic is straining Rafah's health services. And there's a story in there about somebody who came down with COVID-19, had to be transferred to a different hospital, and she was wasn't even admitted until midnight. The beds are completely full over there. All righty. Out in California, parents have filed a lawsuit to force the schools to fully reopen as students struggle with distance learning. Do you know how unfair this is to college kids? I mean, they're going hideously into debt, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, to sit at home and watch a class over a little tiny computer screen. I don't think that was exactly what they expected when they signed up there. Speaking of college, apparently one of the online-only students who's never actually on campus was suspended indefinitely for attending a party. Now, the party was consistent with New York City's Phase 4 COVID-19 guidelines, which allow events of up to 50 people. Many attendees went maskless, but Andy says he didn't stand in close proximity to anyone other than his roommates, who are also students, and they left after a short while. But apparently, somebody posted a video of the party on social media, and it was reported to NYU administrators by the university's COVID-19 compliance system. On Sunday, August 23rd, a day after the party, the NYU Director of Student Conduct, Craig Jolie, sent an email to Andy accusing him of threatening the health and safety of the NYU community. Now, remember, this guy's never actually on campus. He's a remote learner. Monday, the NYU suspended him indefinitely and says that to return to campus in 2021, he'll need to write a reflection paper and beg for readmission. The problem is he's on a full tuition scholarship that could be ended because of the disciplinary status. That is definitely not fair. Okay, in a recent report, Washington-based consumer watchdog group Public Citizen accused Amazon of price gouging, the practice of raising prices of basic necessities during disasters amid the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The report itself featured a long list of essential products that were being sold at inflated prices. For example, a box of 50 disposable face masks listed on the platform's own essentials line now retails for $39.99. This is a 1,000% increase from its designated price back in 2019. Cornstarch, another household essential, saw a 1,010% increase in price, the highest among the limited essential products listed essential products in the report. Sugar and toilet paper were being sold at a 520% markup, while sanitizing products saw an almost 500% increase in price. And by the way, over in Europe, as they keep hearing about the second wave, again, there's a run on toilet paper in the markets there. And people say, you know, don't stockpile. You don't need to. They're going to keep the supply chains going here. All right, turning to the protests and discord in the streets of America here, Bill Barr's Justice Department brands New York, Portland, and Seattle as anarchist jurisdictions. They now face losing billions of federal dollars for failing to maintain law and order. The idea, of course, being that the city government's first priority is the safety of their own citizenry. And the Justice Department declared these three cities as anarchist jurisdictions, and they can have federal funding ripped away for failing to clamp down on the violence. It listed the three cities as among those that have permitted violence and destruction of property to persist and have refused to undertake reasonable measures to counteract criminal activity. I mean, even Joe Biden is finally out there saying that this is criminal activity that's going on in these streets here. It's not mostly peaceful protesting. There's an article here that came out of Russia Today talking about the Orwellian indoctrination of kindergartners with critical race theory. Woke teachers and school administrators are waging a culture war for the minds of kids as young as five by inculcating them with toxic social justice teachings. And the author says that they got an unpleasant initiation into the culture war when, in the wake of the George Floyd killing, my five-year-old child's elementary middle public charter school here in Los Angeles went from being an academic institution interested in preparing students for the workplace in college to an ideological hotbed devoted to promoting critical race theory over all other subjects. Okay. Apparently, protesters in Philadelphia are chasing down and assaulting random citizens for being Nazis. And just as we thought we'd seen the peak boredom from America's misinformed Marxist, three new videos out of Philadelphia have surfaced showing that now more than ever, there's too many art students and unemployed millennials that need to find hobbies. This is good news here. GOP lawmakers introduce Hold Rioters Accountable Act. Pelosi, Democrats, and George Soros hit the hardest. For months now, violent Black Lives Matter and Antifa leftists have been rioting cities across the country, and they have been allowed to basically do what they wanted to do. All righty. Getting on over to the Breonna Taylor case here. Kentucky police initiate state of emergency ahead of grand jury decision on the Breonna Taylor case. The Louisville Metropolitan Police Department ordered a state of emergency on Monday for Louisville, Kentucky, ahead of a highly anticipated grand jury decision on the Breonna Taylor case. I understand they're boarding up buildings over there. And frankly, I think they're telegraphing which way the grand jury is going to go. And, you know, this is getting close. I mean, Louisville's just a hoot and a holler over that away here. So in the LMPD declaration, personnel were informed that all officers would be required to be present and would not be allowed to take time off in the coming days. All right. The Southern Baptist Convention is going to rename itself in a nod to Black Lives Matter. The group's president citing the ongoing Black Lives Matter riot movement as an imperative for the change. And the resolution to adopt a new name passed following a vote of church leaders, although it's unclear how they perceive the name Southern Baptist Convention as an insult to the Black Lives Matter movement. Okay. And still following up here, there's been yet another affirmative action fraud exposed. A graduate student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison has resigned from a teaching position after admitting on social media that they falsely claimed to be a person of color. Okay, C.V. Vitolo Haddad apologized last week in two posts on Medium and announced that they were leaving their position as the co-president of the university's Teaching Assistants Association. Okay, the apologies came after an anonymous post on Medium accused Vitola Haddad of misleading people about his racial identity. Okay, the second police officer that shot in Compton has been released from the hospital, and apparently she got a phone call from Donald Trump who told her the country was behind her, which I think is absolutely true. But it's great they're both out of the hospital now, although they'll be bearing the scars of what happened for the rest of their lives, both mental and physical. All right, let's turn to the international news now. There's a lot going on there. Mike Pompeo is talking about a humanitarian intervention in Latin America. Of course, we never start wars for greedy reasons. It's always humanitarian intervention or bringing them democracy or saving them from a cruel dictator. The U.S. government never admits, well, we're just going to go on and take, you know, their natural resources here. But the United States and its longtime puppet state, Colombia, are moving towards another attempt for regime change against Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's Latin American tour, which included Colombia, Brazil, Guyana, and Suriname, all share borders with Venezuela. And it was a display of the U.S. flaunting its economic and military muscle to shape its Latin American policy for its economic and geopolitical advantage in the region. Pompeo's press statement began, "The United States remains the largest single donor of humanitarian and development assistance around the world, including for Venezuelans in need, because doing our part to respond to global crisis situations is a national security priority." I wonder if they're going to invade before the election here. Over in Afghanistan, the Afghan government said yesterday that at least 57 Afghan soldiers were killed in overnight clashes with the Taliban, the bloodiest day of fighting since intra-Afghan talks began in Doha earlier this month. The Taliban has not confirmed any casualties, but an Afghan military spokesman said 54 Taliban fighters were killed in Kunduz, Takhar, and Baghlan provinces. A spokesman from the local government of Maidan Ward province said 26 Taliban members were killed there, bringing the total to 80. The Afghan government took the heaviest casualties in the central province of Uruzgan, where at least 24 Afghan soldiers were killed. Okay, China is signaling a war footing. Chinese minesweepers were in a drill to break the Taiwan sea mines threat. State media has confirmed what is a very serious and direct escalation in waters surrounding Taiwan amid the ongoing PLA military exercises. PLA ships were engaged in mock minesweeping activities amid Taiwan's attempt to deploy sea mines in the Taiwan Straits, although it's unclear the degree to which China's minesweeping ships actually entered the contested strait. Taiwan says it has the right to retaliate after China sent its military planes into the sensitive strait area 40 times in a deliberate threat of force. And Taiwan's defense minister is out there saying that the island has a right to defend itself. They're not afraid of China, but they will not provoke a confrontation. So the ball's in China's court on this one. All right, as you're already aware, the Trump administration has unilaterally imposed the UN sanctions on Iran without the blessings of the United Nations. And yesterday, the Trump administration announced new sanctions on Iran under the guise of enforcing stipulations of the 2015 nuclear deal, an agreement the U.S. withdrew from in 2018. The U.S. is taking these steps unilaterally with virtually no international support. The move is not only rejected by the UN Security Council, but also by key European allies like Britain, Germany, and France. President Trump signed an executive order yesterday that is meant to replace a UN arms embargo on Iran that will expire in October. The executive order allows the U.S. to impose sanctions on any individual or entity that sells weapons to Iran. This is going to worsen the trade war with China. And they're saying that the anti-Iranian sanctions won't change much when it comes to the Islamic Republic's present economic predicament, but will almost certainly provoke a worsening of the trade war with China, since the real intent seems to be to target the countless companies that are poised to participate in these two countries' reported $400 billion strategic partnership agreement by replicating the model of maximum pressure that's been experimented against Huawei over the past year. Now, an American analyst, Patrick Lawrence, is saying that a U.S. blockade of Iran, which is being talked about, would be an act of war. And Lawrence is saying the U.S. should not try to blockade the Islamic Republic in order to enforce illegal sanctions unilaterally, because blockades are acts of war. For the first time in 10 months, last week, a U.S. aircraft carrier sailed through the Strait of Hormuz and entered into the waters of the Persian Gulf after Washington threatened to illegally extend an expiring arms embargo on Iran. The U.S. Fifth Fleet said in a statement on Friday that the strike group led by the USS Nimitz and including two guided missile cruisers and a guided missile destroyer sailed into the Persian Gulf to operate and train with U.S. partners. The Nimitz strike group includes the USS Princeton and USS Philippine Sea, both guided missile cruisers, and the guided missile destroyer USS Sterrett. Now, Iran yesterday, through Foreign Minister Javad Zarif, made a video address to the Council of Foreign Relations in New York, during which he proposed a full exchange of prisoners held by the U.S. and Iranian governments. It's unclear how many prisoners this would cover, but Zarif said the offer was to exchange all prisoners, adding that there are Iranians in U.S. prisoners who are only there because they refuse to betray their country. Iran has some U.S. citizens in prison on espionage charges, while mostly the Iranians held by the U.S. are facing allegations of violating sanctions. The U.S. has often demanded the unconditional release of all Americans held. Now, such releases are not unheard of. In December of 2018, the U.S. and Iran traded a pair of prisoners, and in June, Iran released a Navy veteran who had contracted COVID-19 in return for the U.S. allowing an Iranian-American doctor to visit Iran. Now, right now, the United States is concerned about Iran and North Korean cooperation, and they want to try and find some way to prevent it. And according to Elliot Abrams, Washington's envoy in Iran, the U.S. will do whatever it can to prevent it. Abrams was responding to a reporter's question on whether the United States had seen evidence that Tehran and Pyongyang had resumed cooperation on long-range missile development. There's a new United Nations report out, and it offers a grim reminder of U.S. complicity in the brutal war in Yemen. And if you want a graphic example of how U.S. intervention can very often make the situation worse, look no further than Yemen. Okay, we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines now, 800-313-9443, and we'll start taking phone calls after these words from our sponsors. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show here. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, and we're going to go to David in Boston. Hello, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, aloha, Michael. Michael, getting back onto former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, I talked about him a little bit yesterday, but, Michael, evidently there's a general gross misperception by the public about former officer Chauvin. It's leaking out, Michael, like with his defense team, when he goes to trial, evidently his defense team is going to put forth this sort of a defense. I don't know if the jury's going to buy it, but evidently former officer Chauvin, he loves black folks. And he saw that all around the country in the blue cities that the police were taking the knee with the Black Lives Matter folks and everything to show their solidarity with them and so on. So former officer Chauvin, to show his solidarity with Colin Kaepernick and the Black Lives Matter movement, he was taking a knee. He was simply taking a knee, and he was trying to save George Floyd from
David, that's a bit of a reach.
Oh, really? You don't think the jury will buy that? You don't think the jury will buy that?
I wouldn't buy it, and I don't think the jury will buy that.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Apparently, he had altruistic motives. He was just taking a knee, trying to save.
Yeah.
Now, and Mike, and then this other topic with this Ruth Bader Meinhof. That's what I call it. But these young college girls and everything. The woods is full of them back here. You won't see the system educating a young white man, but all these young white women. Going to college and everything nowadays. The last thing they're concerned about, of course, is finding a nice husband and having some beautiful children or anything. But anyways, they're going around, and you probably heard this, of course, Mike, that, you can't spell truth without Ruth. Everybody's, I guess, heard that. You've heard that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't spell truth without Ruth, but... I don't have a black belt in karate, and I don't have a black belt in judo. However, I do have a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I'm a jiu-jitsu master. So I usually come up with an answer for all these platitudes and everything. But my answer, Mike, actually I tried this on some young college girls, and a couple, one of them flipped me off, and then the others joined in flipping me off when the first one flipped me off. But I told them I was old school and everything, I'm a red-blooded American, and I told them that, maybe you can't spell truth without Ruth, but you can't spell Babe Ruth without Ruth either. So the answer to the un-Americans, us Americans, red-blooded Americans, when they throw that in our face that you can't spell truth without Ruth, just come back and tell them, yeah, but I'm old school, and I don't spell Babe Ruth without Ruth.
David, we're going to have to let you go. We've got to take a break for station identification. Got more callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.